kind of mistakes of life. He said pathetically, "I think I have the greatest fitness for speaking on this subject." And of course, everyone felt that he was referring to the men that he had sentenced to jail. But he went on to say, "I have committed every one of these mistakes." What I'm going to do is look at some of these mistakes that he listed. And of course, we will make application to Christian living as we look at them. But in the first one, he said the mistake of life is to attempt to set up our own standard of right and wrong and expect everybody to conform to that. Okay, let me repeat that. He said it's a mistake to set up our own standard of right and wrong and then expect everybody else to conform to that standard. Now, we understand why he said what he said, especially as we think about the fact that the rule of life is found in the word of life. For example, the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. Now, I know we're all very familiar with them, but you know, something that I find, speaking of mistakes of life, a mistake that I make is because of a passage being very familiar or a subject that I'm very familiar with, I won't always give it the same attention that I once did give it. And of course, there's something to be said for learning something and knowing it and not having to approach it as if we had never heard it before. But nevertheless, to all the time, because, well, Ten Commandments. Yeah, I know the Ten Commandments. I know the Ten Commandments. But, you know, it's just like somebody who says, how are you going to get to heaven? Oh, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. So you ask them to give you three of them. And they can't. Okay, well, and you know, the good response to that is, well, aren't you a little fearful? If you're basing getting to heaven on keeping the Ten Commandments and you can't even name three of them? And so, but nevertheless, Exodus chapter 20. The first one is in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second one in verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. I like the thoroughness of God in that because he not only says don't make a graven image, but he cuts away all possible excuses, okay? And it can't be any kind of graven image. And he covers all the places where one might go for that. And in verse 5 specifies why. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He holds possession of his people, and he doesn't want to share that with anyone else. You know, there is a right kind of a husband and wife jealousy. Not all jealousy is wrong.
That's right.
Okay? The jealousy that says, you're my possession, I don't share you with anyone else, and I want you to be protected, okay? That's a good kind of jealousy. Now, the kind of jealousy that is demanding, demeaning, and of absolute controlling, that's another matter. But I think you're all wise enough to understand the distinction. But then the third commandment, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We may not need more than this one commandment for people that are going to stand before God in the future.
Oh my goodness.
Who is there, ourselves included, that have not taken the name of the Lord in vain? Yeah, well, yeah, sure, before I got saved. Yeah? Well, God bless you if you've never taken it in vain since you've been saved. But I've been around enough Christian people. I be a Christian people, okay? And did something I shouldn't have done. I mean, like, you know, hit my hand, okay? Or I'm jack. This takes intelligence, folks. You're going to jack the car up. And you put your hand where it doesn't belong. And then you start to jack. Now, the weight of the... Yeah, you're right. I told you, it doesn't take intelligence, Chris. And then sometimes what comes out of even the Christian's mouth is taking the Lord's name in vain. You shocked? You shocked to hear that? Well, no, you shouldn't be. Actually, you see, there's different kinds of quiet when you're in a service and when you're preaching. And this is one of those times of quiet that people would rather not. Let's move on, Pastor. You've got seven more to cover, all right? And so fourth one is in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor, you say, well, we don't need to keep that one because we don't keep the Sabbath day. We keep the Lord's day. Now, in all of the scriptures, there are specific commands, and each command carries with it an underlying principle that does not limit that command to the specific setting in which it was given. So you're right, we don't keep the Sabbath, but the underlying principle is a day set aside for the worship and the honor of God in a way that is above and beyond all other honorings that we would give him. And so we observe the Lord's day, the day that he was risen. And so, but he still tells us here that we are indeed to keep it holy. Keep it holy. There should be something just a little different about the Lord's day. Okay, you say, well, it is. I go to church. Yeah, that's good. That's a good start. But there's more to it than, we got 3 hours here, 4 hours, let's say. So then you got another 20 hours. And do we keep it holy? Do we keep it holy? And, okay, now the next one. In verse 12, number 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so that honoring of our mother and father and pastor is well preached on this, especially when one's mother or father would not be easy to honor. Okay, and what do you do? How do you handle it? And pastor's given us good instruction on that. Now the seventh one, you say, how can you keep them in mind? I can't. That's why I take a pen and I write a number 7 in front of verse 13. That way I know it's the seventh one. You see? Now, why do I tell you that? Because I like to show you my inabilities? No, because it might help you. Maybe you run into some things like that and you struggle with it. Okay? Don't beat up on yourself. Just find some way to deal with it. That's the way I dealt with it. The other way I dealt with it, if you were to come up here and look at my Bible, you would see I have different colors for each one of these. I love color coding. Color coding is one of my big things. And so I've got different colors on each of these. And the big term now, if you watch anything having to do with home decorating, is we want a pop of color. Okay, we want a pop of color. Well, if you were to come up here and look, you'd see a pop of color, okay, on each one of these commandments. And number 7 is thou shalt not kill. That's premeditated murder in our terminology. Verse 14 is commandment 8, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15 is a commandment 9, thou shalt not steal. And then the 10th commandment, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now wait a minute there. We got the next one yet coming up here. Oh, man. Now I got to use some whiteout somewhere. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. How did I end up with 11? I just rewrote the Bible.
That's holier than thou.
Yeah. Oh, well, now you can see why I have to do what I do, and it really helps when you do it right. The rule of life is found in the Word of God. Every one of these commands helps us. But we're not just limited to the Ten Commandments. If we go back to Galatians, in Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul begins 19 through 21 with the works of the flesh. And he lists them there. But then in verse 22, he begins with the fruit of the Spirit. All right? And so we don't set our own standards. God's Word sets the standard. And here in the New Testament, Paul, as he writes to the Galatian believers, he lists the fruit of the Spirit. I've heard some great messages taught on this through the years. And one that always stuck in my mind is that it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. One fruit, but 9 parts. Okay? And when you think about how a diamond is one diamond but has many facets for to reveal the beauty of it. And so here it is, the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 parts: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And applying these principles, this is the standard of right and wrong. You may not live up to my standard of right and wrong, but you don't have to. All you have to live up to is God's standard. And of course, that standard is throughout the Scriptures. It's not limited to just the 10 commandments and the 9-fold fruit of the Spirit. But nevertheless, the rule of life is that we would live up to God's standard. But then a second mistake, the judge said, that he made in life was to try to measure the enjoyment of others by our own enjoyment. Okay? We set ourselves up as the example. And so we try to measure the enjoyment of other people by what is enjoyment to us. And therefore, what I enjoy, if you don't enjoy that, what's the matter with you? Okay? You must be deficient somehow. Okay? And you have something that you enjoy that I don't? Well, how can you enjoy that? Because I don't like it. Do you see how self is the center of just these two, and we've got others to go through yet? Self, our own standard, self, and our own measure of enjoyment, self. We really need to, again, use God, of course, as the the guideline. And here, we're going to go to Acts chapter 10. And this is not going to appear to be applicable at first. At least it wasn't to me when I found the passage. All right, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, trying to measure the enjoyment of others by our own, the example in life needs to be like Christ and what brings good and enjoyment to others. So in 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Okay, now let's read that again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Here's the focus. Who went about doing good. To measure the enjoyment of life by ourselves misses the mark. We should measure it by the enjoyment and the good that we can bring to other people. In the case of Jesus, it says that he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Well, now, we're not going to be able to do that kind of healing. But we sure do know that there are an awful lot of people that we're in contact with who have troubles and difficulties in their life because of the devil. And if we are able to do anything to be an influence for good in their lives, the Lord can use us to be doing good. It goes and it ends the verse with, for God was with him. I want God with me.
Amen.
I want God to be able to use me.
Amen.
I want God to be able to take my life and use it to be a benefit to other people.
Amen.
Okay? And many times he can do that and we're not even aware that he's doing it. As long as we are just going about living godly, as long as we're just going about living right and doing what we should do, he can take that in people's lives and use it to be an influence in them, and we may not even be aware that it's happening. We don't have to be. God will get the glory, and the Lord will use us in such a manner. Now, to measure the enjoyment of others by our own enjoyment. Have you ever met anybody like this? If I don't like it, it's dumb or stupid. Yeah, sure. We've all met someone like that. Hopefully we've not been that someone. But, you know, we're... Because it's nothing I enjoy, therefore, that somebody else would enjoy, well, that's dumb. That's stupid. I don't see, how in the world can they like that? Okay? Here again, what is it? We're setting ourselves as the epitome of enjoyment. We're setting ourselves as the epitome of what's the standard for good and enjoyment. No, it's not dumb or stupid. It's just different. You know, that was so freeing. That so much set me free when I realized that just because it's different than what I cared for, that it wasn't dumb or stupid, it was just different.
Amen.
And it's okay for people to be different. Now, you don't have to like they're different. You don't have to endorse they're different. You don't have to accept it. But we of all people should know better than to have to condemn it, okay? And to call it dumb or stupid or crazy, you know, what's the matter with them? Oh, they're just different, you know? And if you knew it, they're probably getting in their car, driving home, saying the same thing about you. You know? What goes around comes around. But to measure others not by our enjoyment. Then I think the last one that I'll give tonight is to expect, it's a mistake in life to expect uniformity of the opinions in this world. The word of life is to think with God, think like God, and not to expect that everybody would think the way I think. Now, obviously, this is very close to the enjoyment of others or having our own standards, but it would be close because self is the center of this one as well, to expect the uniformity of opinion. My opinion is the right opinion. You can have another opinion, and I've heard this said in jest, okay? At least I always hope it's in jest. I've heard people to say, well, you know, you're welcome to a different opinion. You even if it's wrong, you can have it. Yeah, by the chuckles, others have heard it too. The word of life is to think like God, to think with God. And when we're, imagine a triangle, if you will, please. And I've used this in marital counseling already. In a triangle, here's the husband, here's the wife, up here's God. Now, the problem with the husband and wife is they're on the outs with each other. And we need to get them to draw closer together. Now, how do we get them to draw closer together? They're at loggerheads. We can't get them to draw closer together. But you see, if we can get them both to draw close to God, what's going to happen? They're going to draw close together. And that's the same way here with this matter of opinions in the world. You have your opinions. I have my opinions. And you don't have to take mine. I don't have to take yours. But if you and I as Christians will focus on Jesus Christ, focus on God, and think like He does. Now, we're going to find ourselves, when it comes to opinions that matter, okay? When it comes to opinions that matter, we'll find ourselves thinking alike because we're thinking like God. There's a lot of opinions that don't matter, okay? Some people drive Fords, some people drive Chevys, and the Dodge guy can't understand either of them. You see, there's opinions. I've heard some real good arguing going on already over Fords and Chevys, you know, and I always like to try and intercede and say, well, you know, the one I found best, the one that keeps running. And so the Word of God. For our scripture on this, we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 2. And you'll recognize this familiar portion. Philippians chapter 2. Here the Apostle Paul says, in verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when we are thinking like Jesus, then of course we're going to be of like mind. Now this takes on, in my understanding, even more significance when we look at verse 3 and 4. where Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. But how do we do that? How do we esteem someone better than ourselves? Because self is so significant. Well, it happens when we let his mind be in us.
That's right.
Okay? Now, you can't create that. You have to be yielded to God and want God to be in control of your life, and he'll work that out. And you'll discover in some happening in life, you'll discover, wow, God did that because you know how you feel. You know what your opinion is, okay? And then you come, you know, in interaction with a cousin or a coworker or neighbor or whatever, and you find yourself thinking different than what you know you usually think. How did that happen? Well, what happened was his mind was in you. And he worked that out, just as we yield to him. One last scripture, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. In John chapter 17, and I'm looking in John 17 at verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. They too may be one in us, the Father and the Son. So you see, when we are yielded to the Father, to the Son, then we are going to be alike. We're going to be together, and we won't have to try to make it happen. Relax. Okay? Will you just relax about being godly? Quit trying to be so holy. Just give up and give in to Jesus Christ. And then he'll do in you what you've not been able to do for however long it is you've been trying. You say, but it seems like I want to make an effort. Yeah, it seems like. But how's that worked for you? Okay? Has it been beneficial? Of course it hasn't. It's been frustrating. Defeating. Just love the Lord. Just yield to him. Just live for him to whatever level you can do. You know my 1 to 10 scale. Just live for him at a 3. If that's all you can be, a good number 3 level Christian, well then, be a good 3 level Christian. You know what? You being a good 3 level Christian is better than you being a 3, and then a 5, and then a 4, and then, you just came to Youth Week, you're now at a 7. Oh, you're really doing good, okay? Until 2 weeks later, when you're back at a 4.
Come on.
And so you're about ready to think it just doesn't work. I've heard it. I want it. It just doesn't work. Give up. That's the context in which I say just give up. And just be you. At whatever level, and be consistent there. And then, when God sees you mean to wait on him, then he'll slowly take you from 3 to 3 1/4 to 3 1/2.
That's right. Yes.
Uh-oh, you did something you shouldn't have, back to 3 1/4. Now you come to 3 1/2, 3 3/4, and then you're going to hit 4 and think that you have won the world. Okay, just praise God for number 4, okay? And just stay there. You say, well, I've been at a number 4 level now for 6 months. Yeah, but isn't that consistency? And don't you feel great when somebody preaches about being consistent and you know that you are? Of course you want to be more. We all want to be more. We all want to grow. But we'll always grow. God's scale isn't 1 to 10. God's scale is 1 to woo-hoo. Okay? I mean, he has no end to his. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and giving us the opportunity to live for you and to serve you. I pray this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.